When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Up the Poshcast. We are filming off the back of the win against Stevenage in the last minute through Kwame Poku, and obviously played Wigan midweek. There's only four of us here today. I'm joined by Ashley, Dell, and Lods. The other three got caught up in personal commitments and the cinema, so we are without them this week. I'll open with you, Ash, and we'll start with Stevenage. What were your thoughts of the game as a whole?
Do you know what? We started really, really well today, I thought, in sort of the first 5-10 minutes. Obviously, got a goal early on, like we did against Bristol Rovers, and it sort of felt like we would be able to kick on. But unfortunately, from then on, it just sort of seemed like we felt a little bit lost, if you ask me. Sat back, weren't quite really comfortable playing the ball, weren't doing the things that we're good at. There were some poor performances in there for sure. And ultimately, I think that Stevenage dominated the game from pretty much when we scored the first goal all the way through until when we sort of picked up in the last 10 minutes again. So I think that Stevenage can probably see themselves really unlucky not to get anything, if not the win at all. Obviously delighted that we've managed to pick up another win at home, as that's been something that we've struggled this week. But, you know, it's really tough. It feels like we were lucky today. And where we've maybe felt unlucky so far this season, with lots of deflected goals and lots of sort of bad decisions and all of that sort of stuff, maybe this was where our luck is turning. So I'm delighted for the lads. I'm delighted that they've got the win. I definitely think there's some improvements that we can work on. But overall, yeah, I'm of course happy with 3 points, but if that's the standard that we're going to play this season, then I would say that I am still concerned.
It was definitely a scrappy game. I'm not so sure we were dominated. I thought it was pretty even. First half was definitely very boring. Not many chances for either team. Don O'Brien Brady's finish was really good, but it did come out of nothing, really. I don't remember any of the chances getting the ball in the box. Didn't really happen very often for us. Jed's made a big save at the near post, but again, for them, I think they got the ball in the box quite a bit, but couldn't really finish. Second half picked up for both teams, but again, I thought it was quite even. I don't think we deserved the win, but I would have been disappointed if we lost. Ashley's right, something is a bit flat. Our build-up play isn't there. We're saying it every week, we're not getting the ball in the box enough. Obviously our team's hampered by injuries. That might be the main issue there. But we defended really well. I just wanted to say, we've all agreed that Manny was man of the match. I did think Wallen had a good game. I know many people disagree with that. But Manny, again, this is like the third or fourth game that we've given him man of the match for now. He's come on leaps and bounds this season. He looks a monster in defence. Defensively, I think one of the better defenders we've had in the last decade. It's really hard to compare our defenders to Ronnie and Knight based on their ball playing abilities last season. But defensively, I think Manny is just as good, if not better, than what they were.
Do you know what? This is a Dell moment again. Manny so far has been my player of the season. Starting back at the start of the season, I keep saying it every pod now, the question was, is Manny going to be a professional footballer? And I kept saying no. Is Manny going to start as a regular? I kept saying no. Now, I think Manny should be the first player on the team sheet. He's not the best footballer. We'll agree with that. I'm liking his attitude. I'm liking the way his, you know, his commitment getting stuck in. I'm liking the way that he's actually sort of holding his own in a quite a shit team at the moment. And it is, let's not sort of beat about the bush and try and fluff it up. You know, he and I'd also say Ricky as the two shining stars. So if you ever do listen, Money, and people have criticized you, and I've criticized you, and people have said, oh, that Dell was a twat, whatever, whatever, make sure you listen to this one where I'm praising you, and I have done for the last few weeks, you know, because kudos to you, mate. I think you're doing really, really well. Keep it going. You'll never be that passer of the ball, but I've related you the other week to Sequani. That ain't a bad sort of example to lead yourself forward, because I like Sequani, superb player, and I think that's the sort of defender that you're going to turn into. So fair play, absolutely superb, deserved to be man of the match today. We're not the sort of performance we are of last season, so yeah, it's going to be a tough season. So we've got a few options. We can either moan and keep moaning and like fucking have the crowd down to 6,000 like it was today. There was no way it was at 8,000 again. That every week, that just pisses me off. It was empty. About 6,000 people there. Let's be honest and say how many fucking people do turn up, not how many tickets are given out. But anyway, another bugbear of mine. You know, it is going to be a tough season. I said ninth. I actually, more and more, week on week, that I do get to go and watch, I think we're going to end up more to the bottom of the league. And if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, right? It's our team. We need to follow them. We need to go when we're playing well. We need to go when we're shit. You know, we got Stevenage on Tuesday. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, get down there, support it. It might be the Mickey Mouse Cup, but it's still your fucking team, right? We'd lose or draw, whether it's kids, let's fucking help them, right? Let's help them.
Yeah, I think, like we've said before, I think that it is a massive work in progress at the moment, and we are sort of 10 games into the season, and there is still another 36 to go. I think, like Lods and Delabo mentioned with Manny, I think that actually this season, where we've been stronger is that we are really solid in the air in our box, and where these teams are pumping the balls in, we've got two really tall centre-backs that just love heading the ball, and that's so it's probably nice to see, I would say. Like, as good as the Ronnie Edwards and the Josh Knight passing it around and stepping up and drawing teams in is fantastic. Sometimes it is really nice just to sort of see like good proper old school defending of like, look, this is my line. You're not getting through it. And that's what we're going to do. We've not kept a clean sheet, but I think that last season, based on the way that we're playing this season, we probably have conceded more. I think that in Manny Fernandez, we have probably got somebody that is ready to step up to the plate. Like Dell said, he's gone from being somebody that was probably our fourth choice centre back at the start of the season, and is now our first choice centre back. And you look at the way that he conducts himself on the pitch and communicates with the back four, the other players that he's got him. He's communicating with Steer, he's communicating with those in front of him, and ultimately he's making good active decisions even when we're attacking as well, which is really important. And it's nice to see from a lad that has played lots of reserve football, under 23 football for us. And it's nice to see that one of those that we've put, the club's put time and effort into, is now coming good as well.
Yeah, and on Manny Fernandez as well, I think he's been our standout performer. I think he is, if not one of our players of the season so far. Obviously, it's early days, but I think him being there when we've still got the likes of Poku, Ricky J. Jones, Archie Collins, Kipriano all still playing for us, I think is a testament to how good he's been. On top of that, I think he's been a real leader, and I saw that a lot today, and I've seen it quite a bit. His communication has come leaps and bounds. I think when his shot got deflected in the box, when he could have scored, and one of the Stevenage players got a really good chance, and he was getting the team going. He was telling the players, you know, focus, we can win this. And there was multiple times today where he did that, and I really do like that in a player, and I admire it, because I don't feel we command or lead well enough as a group. And I feel like he made a lot of decisions today, especially when I think Lods mentioned Ricky J. Jones was going to take a long throw, and Manny Fernandez was the one that told him not to, and things like that. So really, his leadership's come leaps and bounds. He's making excellent decisions. So I'm really pleased with how he's coming along. And I think he's going to end this season as our best player. Without a doubt, I think he's just been absolutely amazing. Another player that we've obviously spoken about a lot, is Joel Randle. Now, I know he got phased out of the group at Birmingham, and a lot of fans had a very negative reaction to that, of course. I just want to know your thoughts today, guys, because I thought Randle was excellent when he came on. And I don't know if that's an opinion that's shared by the group, but I thought he was really, really good. When he came on, his passage of play, again, his touches, his passes, his bringing the wingers into play, his getting up the pitch better, was really good. And I thought it changed the game for us. And yeah, when he came on and we went through that spell, and there was nothing really that he could do about it. But we went through a spell of Stevenage dominance. But I thought when he came on, we were on top and a lot of it was played through him. And he looked like he was playing with a point to prove.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on that one, Max. He was very good for the first 10 minutes of the second half. But after that, I didn't really feel like he had that much of a positive influence on the game. He did what Randle does in my eyes and sort of shied away and showed in positions where players were never really going to pass to him. Almost like a little bit of stat padding, let's say. And we've banished him from the first team, and less than a week later, he's back in the setup. We kicked off at Birmingham at 3 o'clock last week, and literally less than seven days sooner, he's back in the first team setup. Now, somebody's made a mistake somewhere. Whether that was Randle, whether that was Fergie, it's disappointing. I'm not going to say that I'm disappointed with the way that the crowd reacted. It was fantastic that they were happy to support him. But what's he done? Has he apologised, or has he decided that he didn't want to be the bad guy anymore? And he actually realised, oh well, I might have made a little bit of a mistake here. But how can you go in a week from being, I don't want to play for this club anymore, I don't like being here, I want to move on, to now being come back on? And actually, I actually think that Fergie probably would have started Randle today, but sort of had made his bed, which is why Hayes started. And then it was very quickly, as soon as half time came around, it was like, right, we're going to put Randle on the pitch. So Hayes sort of became a little bit of a sacrificial lamb, which was disappointing for Hayes because I thought that he was relatively strong.
I think Ash, you've got to look at the injuries in this squad, and regardless of whether or not you've had a fallout or you've said something that you don't mean or your attitude wasn't right, you've got to look at the injuries. And Darren Ferguson has a very difficult decision to make. He either continues his feud that he had with Randle over his attitude, or he puts it behind him and puts the team first. And in this situation, when we've got a midfield with Kitrianu out and Randle out, which was two of our starting midfield three. Collins was available today, but now he is on a five yellow card ban, so he won't be able to feature against Rotherham. So you look at that midfield three now, and Darren Ferguson really had a choice to make today, and I think he made the correct one, allowing Randle to play that 45. And I thought that, look, you could say he didn't have the most positive of influence on the game. Obviously, I'm going to disagree with that. I thought his influence was positive in attack. But regardless of that, I think Darren Ferguson had made the right decision today to allow him to come back on and show that he wanted to play for this football club. And I thought Randle looked fired up for a lot of that half, especially in attack. And that's something that I really like. And I think Darren Ferguson had made the right choice by including him again, just because of the injuries that we're riddled with at the moment.
You know, irrelevant whether or not Fergie has made the right or wrong choice, I really don't know. But to be fair to Randle, I think we're always very quick to criticise him. I think we need to give him a little bit of credit, because when he come on, he didn't look to me that the player's like, well, fuck you, I ain't going to put the effort in. I thought he did try and put the effort in. He did have a few nice little passes here and there. It wasn't his worst game he's ever had for us. It wasn't even his best. But I was quite impressed with his attitude when he come on. He even like went for a couple of tackles, which was like, fucking hell, man. Is this a different Randle, which he doesn't normally do? So, you know, I think we've got to give him a little bit of credit. We don't know what's gone on in the background, whether it is him started it or Fergie, or Fergie's backing him up, whoever. You know what? I don't give a fuck. It ain't my business. I just want to have the players on the pitch that want to play for us. Or even if they don't want to play for us, when they do get on the pitch, they do what they got to do. You know, Jono last year was an absolute classic example. He knew he wasn't going to be playing for us, but when he come on, he was doing what he had to do and he was supporting his team. That's what we need Randall to be doing if you don't want to play. Just, if you are going to come on, you fucking do your best for this club that pays your wages, you know? So, yeah, I've got to give him credit for that. I do want to move on to another player who I really, really fucked off with, if it's okay with you lot. I thought he was going to be the player of the season. I had high hopes for him. But fucking Malik Mothersill, really, mate, you're really disappointing everybody. You know, we can see you've got the you've got the ability. I'm not sure if it's you think you're too good for League One, or do you think you're too good to play with the other players that you're playing with, or is it the fact, oh, look at me, I used to play for Chelsea. Whatever it is, right, take a step back, realise where you are, you're playing for fucking Peterborough United, League One, start playing, okay? Get rid of all this fucking attitude shit and whatever, start playing, and, you know, get the fans back on your side, because at the moment, it come across that you don't give a fuck, and we don't want players that come across like that. Play for us, or fuck off. I prefer you to play and do well, but just needed to get that out there.
Yeah, I think that Malik Mothersill is summing up how the team is at the moment really well, in that everything just looks like it's a little bit too difficult and it's not quite flowing at the moment. And he is probably the case in point in that when he's running at defenders, they look petrified. They don't know whether he's going to go left, he's going to go right, but there's just that final ball missing. Numerous times today, he beat the man, which was fantastic to see. But then it was like a scuffed cross. It was a weak pass. It was an outside of the foot. It was his left foot. Now, we saw it at Orient where he obviously cut that one back for Poku. And that was really good. It just sort of feels like we've taken another step back with Malik Mothersill, which is a shame because, like Dell says, I think a lot of us had high hopes that he was going to be the main man this year. I don't know whether it's because he is sort of been put out on the left, but equally you sort of see the way that he interacts. I don't think it is that, because I think that he's just happy to be part of the starting 11 and part of the team. He knows that we've got players in the wings waiting to come in. So he's obviously stepping up his game to some extent. I think that it's just that final ball, which is similar across the pitch, is what's missing at the moment.
Do you know, I might have been a little bit harsh on him there. You know, I'm just getting my thing out. Passion. That's all I want to show you, passion. You know, I don't want you to fucking fail. I want you to succeed. But I think what you need to do, Malik Mothersill, is to show us a bit of passion, to show us that you actually give a shit. That's all we want, mate. And at the moment, you know, Ash might be right there. It may not be happening for you at the moment for whatever reason. But, mate, we can see you got the ability. Let's see it. Let's see it come out, all right? And then I will apologise, because I do like apologising. Anyway.
I think Malik's best position is a striker. I don't like him on the wing, and I think that's the main issue. I know he's missed quite a lot of chances, and we have seen him play well on the wing, but you've got to think, if we played Odo on the left wing today, Malik would have come on in the last half an hour, because Ricky can't perform the way he does for 90 minutes. He's not been effective in the last half an hour of any game this season that he started, from my memory. And I think that's what Mothersill's role should be in this team at the moment. I don't think he should be our starting winger. I don't think he should be the person that we replace Ephraim Mason-Clark with, because I don't think he's of the same ability. He should be the impact player that we're bringing off the bench to replace Ricky. Some fresh legs, some pace up front, stretching that back line. So the more creative players like Pocker and Randall have still got space to work in, because I think that's part of the reason why we're so ineffective in the second half of games, is that Ricky's legs are so done that there is no space left for the creative players to do anything with.
Yeah, speaking on Malik, I think Lodz is completely right, and I echo his point completely. Malik on the wing, I think, is an experiment that has failed. And I think now we've got to look at Malik and think, well, where can we use him now to give us our best sort of benefit as the squad? I don't think he's built to play out wide, beat a man. And you know, just I can't see it working. And it's frustrating, because I really do like Malik as a player, and I do think there is a player in there. I just can't see where it's going to work, especially with Ricky playing the way he is, because he's playing so good this season. So I want to see maybe Malik played in a different position or to continue with this experiment, see how long it works. Obviously, we've got Rotherham at home at the weekend. We've got a lot of home games in October, actually, including Stevenage on Tuesday. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's just I really want to see. It's very similar to how I felt with Joe Randall, you know, back when he was, you know, injury ridden and a little bit poor. I want to see the player succeed, and I don't know how we're going to make that happen, but I really want to see Malik succeed in a Peterborough shirt.
Yeah, I think that's probably, again, harsh. I can't remember if it was last week's recording or the week before. I think Charlie was a little bit harsh on Mothersill, and to say that it's an experiment that's failed is probably quite difficult. Like, between him and Ricky and Poku at Leighton Orient, they were really, really strong. It probably then didn't work at Birmingham, but we knew that was always going to be a difficult test. And then Wigan, we just really weren't at the races. But to say it's failed, I do think that is harsh. I think that, like we discussed before, and definitely in one of the interviews that he did after the game, he knows where the players want the ball because he is a striker himself. So he's putting the ball into those positions. It's just that today, for certain, he just did not have that final pass. But again, that's something that can be worked on and can be trained on. And if we're going to give, like, I was a massive champion for Ricky being given time last season. We're bearing the fruits of that labour, let's say. But I think that we maybe need to give Malik Mothersill that time. It's a 46 game season, like I said earlier. We've got 36 games left to play, and I'm sure that by the end of the season that he'll come good. Where we sort of look from last season, somebody that's carried on is Kwame Poku. And how fantastic has he been in that he is the top goal scorer in the league at the moment alongside Lee Gregory. And he is sort of bailing us out a little bit. Like I've said before, that he's probably the one that you would, that position where he was in today, there's nobody that you would have preferred that ball to drop to. He wasn't in the game as much as I would have liked to have been. He wasn't doing all of the things that I would have liked him to do, like just get at Dan Butler. Dan Butler is absolutely trash. Like if Poku were to have run at him and done some foot rolls, Butler would have been on the floor and probably getting himself sent off today. But he didn't do that. But at the same time, he's got 90 minutes in him and he's won us the game today, hasn't he? So again, like that's where you need your players to step up, don't you? And last season's like, not high performers, not to say that Poku was poor last season, but those like that weren't the Ronnies, the Ephraim Mason Clarks, the Burrows, they're now stepping up. And I think that that's where we're sort of missing in the middle of the park is that like your likes of Collins and Cipriani haven't stepped up yet, but Poku has definitely stepped up so far this season.
I think with last season, Burrows and Mason Clark were such threats that almost everything that we did came down that left-hand side. And it does feel like we're trying to shift it on the right-hand side a bit now. And rightly so, Poku is a lot better than the options we've got on the left wing, as we've just spoken about. The difference between how Poku plays and Mason Clark plays, though, Poku likes to be narrow. I know we've played him in the 10 quite a bit this season, but even when he's on the wing, he likes to be narrow, whereas Mason Clark would hug that touchline and wait for the ball. And he'd always bring the fullback with him, and it always creates space for Burrows to run into. And I don't think Poku does that, and I think that's where he's probably lacking. He is our top goal scorer, and those goals that he's got have come out of nowhere, which is a good thing because it's games where we haven't looked in control, and he's popped up with a goal, and that's what the big players do. Today is probably the best example we've had all season, where if you watch the pitch side camera view, you can actually see him making a little run. It's almost like he knows exactly where the ball's about to land, and it just fell perfectly to his feet. But yeah, I would like to see him when he's on the wing. I would like to see him play more wide so we can stretch their defenders a bit more, because he does like to hold the ball up like what Mason Clark did. He does like to go on a little dribble. And what Mason Clark was great at doing that and allowing players like Ricky and Burrows and Randall all to get forward. I don't think Poku does that. I think he sort of gets in the middle of the pitch and stops them from making them runs. And I think that's where we criticise the fullbacks too much, is because I don't think they know where they should be running, because the space is always taken up by Poku and where he's taking the ball.
Yeah, just sort of like briefly on the fullbacks. I actually think maybe there's an argument to be made that obviously losing Harrison Burrows and well, Katonga and Kyozo, really, both players, because Katonga is unfortunately now out with a hamstring problem. Is that Poku's style of play was heavily, you know, built around having that fullback underlap, overlap, create space beyond him. He could hold the ball to create space, take a man on. I don't feel like either of our fullbacks are doing that yet. I sound like a broken record. I say it every week. This back line still needs to gel. The fullbacks do need to understand how, you know, Darren Ferguson wants them to play. And I presume Darren Ferguson wants them to play like how both Burrows and Kyozo / Katongo played last season, which was creating space for the wingers. But Poku has been immaculate this season, and I am really pleased that he's our star man at the moment in terms of goals. And I don't think it's going to be long before Ricky starts joining in on that haul with the way he's been playing. I just think the rhythm isn't quite there yet, and the injuries have not helped this gelling process. And I think a lot of our goals have come from moments. I don't think they've come from a style of play. I think a lot of them have come from moments, and that is a worry. But you look at our injury list, and again, not to use injuries as an excuse, but you look at the injury list and you just think the amount that we've got is really hindering this process of these new signings to gel and to prepare and to understand how to play, because they're constantly playing with somebody new. And that's something that we didn't have. I think on the last season, that unbeaten run we had, it was basically give or take the same team sheet every week, you know, and it gave that team so much, you know, coherence to have a pattern of play and to have a style. And I don't feel like we've got that yet, because each week there's a new name or there's a player in a different position.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Max. And that was a point that I was going to make about Poku, and he probably doesn't know who's going to be running up behind him. If I think about this season so far, we've had Curtis, we've had Dornelli, we've had Katongo, we've had Ajiboy as well at some points. We talk about partnerships and relationships in football, but Poku probably doesn't know week on week who's going to be playing with. And then we make a change like we did today at halftime. No two players are the same. They can try and replicate each other and follow patterns of play, but ultimately they play different and play differently. I think that obviously the one sort of thing that we do have is settled well is that Sparks is at left back. And I think that he is growing into that position that he needs for us. And another thing that Sparks has got really into strong is that his ball into the box has become fantastic, and he has become an asset from the corners. Another one that was really, really surprising to see as well was that Archie Collins was on our corners from the opposite side today. Which was a surprise. Obviously, we saw Katongo take them at Birmingham until he went off injured. Collins taking that leadership and then stepping up on that leadership. We seem like we're falling foul like we did last season with Cipriano getting bookings and being banned for Portsmouth. Archie Collins has now got 5 bookings in 10 games. I'm sure that Fergie is absolutely livid with that, because bookings were not a part of Archie Collins' game last season. And I don't know whether he's being affected by this off-the-field noise or stuff like that. But 5 bookings in 10 games to then miss Rotherham, which is ultimately going to be another massive game for the team, is very disappointing. And it means that we're probably going to be starting with probably Ryan de Havilland and Donny O'Brien Brady in the middle. Randall probably gets a start as well. So disappointing that our leaders are going to be missing for the big games again.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. There is 5 bookings from our, I believe he's our vice captain, is scary, and it is something that we need to look at, especially considering how much we're fouled as well. Well, that's the high of a win at Stevenage. A low was definitely Tuesday night against Wigan. It was a tough night, I think, for everybody. The first half performance I was completely pleased with, and I was with Ashley, and I'm sure he'll completely echo that. I think a lot of the first half there was pleasing moments. And I felt we were really, really good in areas towards the box and especially around the box. It's just when we got into it, nobody seemed to know what to do with the ball. And the second half, well, it looked like they'd all gone home. It looked like we just fielded no one. Wigan just cut through us in every dimension. It was a poor defence error from Nevitt for the goal quite early on in the second half. And from then, it was just poor throughout the whole game, for the rest of the game. And it was just really unfortunate because, I don't know, it felt like we got the ball rolling and all of a sudden, calamity, and it was sort of over as soon as the ball was kicked, started the second half.
Yeah, like Matt says, it was a relatively strong first half. I certainly wasn't disappointed going in 1-0 down. We had the chances. Obviously, Ricky played in Poku, and their keepers made a fantastic save. Whether you want to call that a Poku miss or a goalkeeper save, it is what it is, isn't it? But to sort of go in at 1-0 half time, and then second half was just total capitulation. We looked lost. We looked weak. Charlie and John mentioned when we recorded last weekend that I think ultimately we looked knackered. We lost our captain. Cipriani went off, and then we sort of watched a little bit. We looked a little bit lost. And it was one of those like looked like we couldn't wait to get home type things. I definitely couldn't wait to get home after the long 3.5 hour drive, and then lots of diversions on the M6 as well. I know that obviously Dell, you managed to miss another trip to Wigan, didn't you? So, but if I remember correctly, you watched on TV, didn't you? So another ground tick still missing from your 92, Dell.
It's fucking harsh. Proper harsh. Wasn't my fault, okay? It's not my fault. The West Midlands police decided, you know what, Dale, we're going to fucking punish you again. We're going to, you know, let you have all the piss taken out of you because you're going to miss Wigan because we're going to fucking ban you from going to football. So I wasn't allowed to go to Wigan. Long story, bottom line is I was arrested on Saturday for being in possession of throwing a flare that most people of you know. So I wasn't allowed to go. The Wigan. You could all fucking sit there and smile and smirk and whatever. It wasn't a nice feeling. Could not believe it. I'm fucking 52 years old. What am I going to be doing with a flare? Anyway, bottom line is I've now been sort of released. No fucking charges brought against me and I'm free to go to games again. But you know what? We might do it. You know what? We might do another little one-off special the day Dell got arrested at fucking Birmingham. So yeah, I didn't go, you know, again to Wigan. After me gloating on social media, look, I've got my ticket, so I ain't fucking missing out this year. But anyway, so I didn't go. I did watch, and yeah, we weren't very good, was we? It weren't great. I don't think there's really much I can really say. It is in the past. We look shocking the whole way through. I don't think there's really any positives I can take out of Wigan. Today was a little bit better. We won the game. Let's not worry about Wigan.
Well, again, completely echo what Dale just said there. It was really poor, but the win against Stevenage just take the sting off the performance a little bit. Something we do have to speak about though, is Tuesday night. You know, I think it's Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, isn't it? So it's a bit of a long run here. Bristol Street Motors Trophy game. Obviously we are the defending champions of that, and squad rotation, I think, is going to be really quite key, for this game. Making sure that we give those players who are maybe on the fringe to give players like Poku, like Ricky, a deserved rest for a big league tie against Rotherham on the Saturday. So, yeah, I just think players like to Haviland, Rose, maybe even Dornelli, even maybe Mills could sort of get into this team and make sure that our squad's rotated and that our players sort of get a breather, if that's an opinion.
It's an interesting one for the squad for Tuesday, because we know Fergie's thoughts on this, and we know that Fergie's a big fan of you get the two wins and then you rotate in the third game. So I'm not sure that we're going to see that much rotation. If we think that Archie Collins is banned for Rotherham, then Archie Collins plays 90 minutes. I then think that Ryan de Haviland probably slots in for maybe a 70-minute, looking with maybe them giving Donny O'Brien Brady a 20-minute spell at the end, or maybe even Tyler Young or the other lad that we've signed. I can't remember his name. I think that Randall probably does start on Tuesday night. He will be our first teamer. And then we maybe look at starting Mothersill up top, Hayes, and then Otto. So they're all my first teamers. They're not, it's not like we're bringing in the youth team like we did against Colchester last year. I think that we probably see Nevitt again so that Valin and Fernandez can get some rest. Obviously, we know that Fergie last season did 45 for Collins, 45 for Kiprianu. Maybe we'll see 45 for Fernandez, 45 for Valin, so that they're still getting that rotation in. But again, I do think it's important that we get a win, because then we can sort of take our foot off the gas against Crystal Palace, sorry, the under-21s, knowing that we've qualified for the knockout stages. So it's definitely important that we get the result on Tuesday. And I wouldn't want to see, although the lads are probably knackered after a relentless sort of back-to-back-to-back-to-back schedule, I think that it is important that we get that result on Tuesday night so that we're going into the last game comfortable and not sort of chasing our tails.
Well, you know, I'm actually looking forward to a midweek game since I missed last week's. Anyway, as far as squad rotation, I don't think there's really much we can do. You know, because most of the squad that would have been playing have been playing for the last few weeks because of the injuries, et cetera, et cetera. I'm actually losing track of who's injured, when people are due back. So, yeah, with Ash, I don't see many changes. I can see Bilo starting in goal again. You say Nevitt. Who knows who's going to happen. But I think we need to try and keep that confidence going and go for the win. Get the win done. Put it to bed, move on. So I think we'll start relatively strong and then see how we go on and go from there. I don't think there's really much more I can say about Stevenage. I'm looking forward to it. Don't forget, it is a 7 o'clock kickoff, I believe. That was a little dig for Zakwani, who actually missed his commentating duties today because he thought it was a 3 o'clock kickoff and not a 12:30. But anyway, we know what time we need to be at places. So, What can I say? So, yeah, get down there. I'm looking forward to seeing you boys there as well, apart from Ash, who's in wherever you're going on holiday. So, yeah.
We should be playing our fringe players, but as Dale's quite alluded to there, we haven't really got many fringe players left because we're already using them all. I think the only position that's a bit up for debate is the right-back position, which we haven't seemed to... nail down the last few games between Dornelli and Curtis. I said at the start of the season that Curtis was a strange signing. Then the first few games, he was really good. And then the last few games, he's been average at best. And Dornelli's come in and played quite well, I thought. Whichever one we go for, I'd like to see get a run of games. And if we're going to give a run of games to one of them, I'd like to see Dornelli. So it would be nice to see a Dornelli 90-minute match against Stevenage, and I hope we then continue to play him against Rotherham until he has such a stinker that he deserves to be dropped. I'd rather not do this stupid play one then play the other, bring one off at half time, because I think they need to get a run of games to be able to get the performances more consistent.
Yeah, and that's obviously a big talking point is the squad rotation. I think it's the biggest one. Look, I think these players need a break, especially a lot of our first teamers definitely need a rest going into Rotherham, which we will swiftly move on to. Rotherham is obviously now a league tie, and it's going to be a big game because after winning in such late fashion against Stevenage at home, it was really positive to see sort of even at the last moments almost like never give up, despite it being another moment. John Clark Harris's return to London Road as well, which would be interesting. And despite, you know, Rotherham's league position, I think their squad's actually quite strong. In fact, very strong. That, you know, with the names I've got on the team sheet: Joe Powell, Reece James, Raggett, Rafferty, Johnson Clark Harris, they've Sam Nom, you know, they've got a lot of players that can do it in the league and have proven they can do it at this level. So I think this is going to be a good game, a good matchup. And I'll throw it to you, Lods. How do you sort of sum up or preview what's to come?
I am slightly concerned, I'm not going to lie. They're not in the best form. And I can't pretend that I've been watching their games or looking to see how they play. But given that Steve Evans is in charge, I can make assumptions. We've just come off of the Stevenage win where they're transitioning from a Steve Evans side. but it was still quite a physical game. And I thought we matched them up quite well. Fernandez and Wallin definitely bring something that we've not had in recent years, and they will be very key against Rotherham. But not having the midfield two of Collins or Kyprianou, I think, will absolutely kill us. We struggle to come up against players that have got that experience of knowing how to play, knowing when to make decisions. Wrexham showed it, Huddersfield showed it. I think the Rotherham game will be very, very similar. I think we're going to struggle to get into it. And I think it's going to be a massive physical battle that we need our centre-backs to be proper on form for if we want to get a result.
I'm not overbothered. And the reason I'm not overbothered, you've got two really out-of-form teams going at it. I think it'll be a good game because we are both out of form. I'm not too concerned about Clark Harris up the front because I think Manny will have him wrapped up. I generally do. Manny's quite big and he is quite strong. And that's what sort of, I think he'll be fine. You know, I think he'll be fine against, what's his name? I just said him, Clark Harris. I also actually think we will win quite comfortably. I am confident we will win comfortably. I'm even going to go, we'll do the predictions in a minute, but I'm really sure we're going to do all right. Something's got to click soon, isn't it? You know what I mean? We start off games well, we'll end the game well. It's got to be soon where we actually sort of, it all comes together. We have a really good performance. You know, we're all come off the, you know, end of the game, all happy because we've played well and we've won. And I'm hoping that Saturday will be that game. So I'm confident we'll do all right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that the only way that we've sort of got a chance is if we completely try and go against what Rotherham are trying to do. They will try and pump the ball into the box. I think that we need to put our quickest players on the pitch and just try and pass it around them, whether that be Randall probably does need to start. Going back on what I said last weekend, Otto, Hayes, Poku as well, if we can, Ricky J. Jones, Donny O'Brien, Brady's going to have to start in the middle. And I think that we just need to get at them and get in their faces. If there's one thing that big, tall, ugly defenders don't like, and even centre midfielders and strikers, it's people running rings around them. And if I'm going to give us a chance, I think that that's the way that it needs to be, is that lots of fast movements, lots of triangles. And as we know, that system, Randall is probably the best footballer that we have at that system, even if he does go missing sometimes. I'm hoping that the 45 minutes that he got today has given the confidence that he wants to come back in and be part of the team. But I think that it's going to be next week that he really shows us that he realised that he's made a mistake, and that the fans have got his back. Whether I agree with that or not is a different question, but I think the next week he needs to put in an 8 or 9 out of 10. Otherwise, people will probably start to turn on him.
Yeah, and look, on Joel Randall, I mean, as you've just said there, Ash, this game's built for him. The system's built to beat teams like Rotherham who might not be able to transition as well as we can with our pace and our ball playing ability. And look, I think, as everybody here says, we are not shying away from the fact that this is going to be a difficult game. However, I think when you've got a player like Jonathan Clark-Harris on the pitch and Sam Nom, they're always both going to be a threat, regardless of whether or not, you know, you've got whoever you've got at the back, they're always going to be a threat. Luckily, we know that Jonathan Clark-Harris loves a corner and we have a 6'5" monster sat at centre-back. So I'm quite comfortable that clearing crosses that come in for him will be taken care of a lot of the time. But I think there's always a chance with Jonathan Clark-Harris. We know his strength. We know how good he is at finding the back of the net. The script's written. The script's there written. It's up to us to go and break that script and make sure he doesn't score on his return to London Road. And that's solely down to us and whether we want to show up. If we show up like we did in the second half of Wigan, we don't stand a chance. You know, it's that mentality that we all want to see again that we had last season, that ruthless clinical mentality. And I think, you know, the dominoes are falling and there's a game coming that's just going to be that dominant home win that we remember from last season. And I think possibly Rotherham could be that win if we get that game plan to a T. But it's going to be very challenging, and I'm not shying away from that fact. Rotherham are a very good team with very good players, and their playing style physically anyway will beat us. So we've got to be on top of our game and make sure that you know we're competing and we've got the mentality to go and collect all 3 points. So Ash, we'll start with you for score predictions. What is your score prediction for the game?
Yeah, so I think it's probably going to be very much one of those like David versus Goliath type games where they're massive, we're not so big, and I think that they're probably going to get the better of us in some of their tactics, and then we'll get the better of them. So I'm going to predict a score draw and go with a 2-2. I think I'm confident that we'll score. We've not really let ourselves down and not scored this season, obviously after Huddersfield and Wrexham. So I think that we'll definitely get some goals, but I do think that there'll be a chance that they put a little bit too much pressure on our back line and our goalkeeper, and we will concede two. So yeah, 2-2 from me.
Okay, so as I've already said, I can actually see us doing quite well. Whilst I was sat in my cell last Saturday, I had a lot of time to reflect on things, and I thought, you know, let's try and be positive. So I'm actually going to go for 4-1. I think we're going to win 4-1. Even better than that, Manny will score a header, and also Ricky J. Jones will score one on the break. So 4-1, those are two of my goal scorers.
Ashley stolen my prediction. I also think it'll be 2-2. Basically the same things that he said. I don't think Jono's going to have much of a chance of scoring, but I do think there'll be a threat from set pieces and just lumping the ball into the box in general. So yeah, whenever there's a game that I think will be low scoring, there tends to be a lot of goals. So that's what I'm going to go for, a nice 2-2 draw.
So anybody, Harry did message me and he did say that he thinks that we're going to absolutely batter Rotherham. Anybody that's wondering where Harry is, he's in hiding from the Birmingham fans still. It is a week on, but he is still in hiding. He doesn't reply to our messages. He's not tweeted all week, but he said that he'll be back for our next recording. Anybody that's wondering where Harry is, but he did say that we're going to go with a strong 4-0 against Rotherham.
Well, that's a very bold prediction from Harry there at the end. And we don't usually allow for people who aren't on the podcast to give their predictions. But for Harry, we will make an exception. But that's the end of the podcast for this week. Rotherham is going to be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure everybody else here is. And we will see you next week, where we'll be discussing Rotherham, whether win, lose or draw, and the games ahead.
Have the podcast.
Oh, the posh.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback, give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Mate, that's a fucking mem whenever you want one, isn't it? Whatever you want to call it. Mean mem fucking.
A mem. Up the memes.
Fucking mem. Up the mem.
What is it?
It's a meme down.
Meme. Okay, meme.